This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So as one does while they're fasting, you know, they get a lot of cravings, right? Because it's like, think about it. You're not eating for the entirety of the day, basically. And so when you do have the inkling to eat, you want to eat everything, right?
Yeah.
So like the past few weeks of us fasting, I've been wanting to eat everything, right? Like one second I'll have a craving for fried chicken, mashed potatoes, fries. Another second, I'll have a craving for just clams and, like you know, scallops and, like,
I have a question.
Chowder.
I have a question.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see how, like, you're telling me about, like, all these things that you're craving?
Right.
Why is it when I ask you what you want to eat?
That's not true.
You don't say anything.
That's not true. I tell you what I want to eat, but then you're like.
You can't do this to me right now.
When he asks me what I want to eat, maybe at that second I don't have a craving. So the other day he asked me what I wanted to eat, so I literally went on Google and I searched food. And then I was just on Google Images, like, looking through different types of food.
At that point, are you even human, bro? Like, everybody knows food. Like,
okay, anyway. No, I just needed some inspo. Anyway, the girls who get it, get it. So I had a craving the other day, right? Well, actually, I have this craving for life. Like, this is just, it never goes away. So I had a craving for pancakes, but not just pancakes from anywhere. IHOP pancakes, right?
Right, International House pancakes.
Oh, is that what it stands for?
You're such a big fan.
Why'd you turn your head like that?
Are you crying? You're such a big fan of IHOP. You don't know what it stands for.
Why'd you turn
like,
your head
like
that?
Like, why do you think they named IHOP? Like, for fun? IHOP.
Remember when it was supposed to be IHOP? Anyway, so I really wanted IHOP, and I knew that my friend and I, we were going out to get food. You were joining us as well. I guess it's your friend, technically.
Like,
but anyway, so I was like, okay, can we please go to IHOP, right? It was perfect because we were already going out. We found a place right by our house. It was amazing. You know, I already won ham. But then he told me that there's this, like, not a scandal, but there's a situation going on with IHOP. And it really brought me to tears.
All right, so I did some research and I found out that, you know, I looked up IHOP on Instagram.
You did this? Did it voluntarily?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought so it showed up for you.
I looked up IHOP on Instagram. How's it just going to show up?
You're on, like, Twitter all the time.
Okay. I looked up IHOP on Instagram, and I saw the IHOP Queens page and the IHOP Bronx page.
Mm.
So there's IHOP Queens and
there's
Bronx.
There's two. It's a differentiation.
Yeah, I think IHOP Queens has like 300 followers or something. IHOP Bronx has like 190 or something. They need to catch up.
Who's going to do social media?
Yeah, I need to hit them up. But probably not anymore, because IHOP has, as you saw, they have a Ramadan menu, and it's very funny.
I don't think people knew that.
And it's very funny because, you know, you hear IHOP Ramadan menu, and obviously all the Muslims in Queens and Bronx are going to get super excited until they realize that it's not halal. None of the meat is halal. Like they say on the Ramadan menu, it's like, these items are excluding pork. Great.
That's
but,
one step done.
But they still have turkey sausage and pancakes and eggs, and the turkey sausage is not halal. So there was a big scandal that I saw online that, you know, they were trying to cancel IHOP Queens and IHOP Bronx.
Wait, are just these two locations the ones that have these menus? Like none other IHOPs?
I think so. I might be wrong. Okay. I don't know. But they were trying to cancel those IHOPs. I'm not with that. Like, I understand, like, Muslims got... Like, I understand, like, it's Ramadan. Like, Muslims got to eat halal and stuff.
Right.
But it's, like, it's IHOP at the end. At the end of the day, like, you know, like, choose a side.
But it's so crazy because he was telling me that and we're like, dang, like, they really took down the whole menu. And then we saw it. We saw it literally on the wall next to us on the table.
Yeah. So, but more of the story. Go to IHOP.
Why does there have to be a moral?
You know, if you're Muslim, you can order off the Ramadan menu, but
right.
Don't get the turkey sausage.
Right, if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. You can always get the pancakes. The short stack never hurt no one.
It hurt you, bro. You slept for 24 hours after
Yeah, after
that.
I had the meal at IHOP.
Oh, why'd I do that? She got pancake. Yo, tell her what you got. Nah, we don't gotta get into it. All right. Welcome back to our podcast. Our podcast called Difficult-ish.
Guys, wait before we continue. When what? I had no, because I'm crying now. Because the people that are just listening, they're not gonna understand what we're saying. You're holding your stomach. So I ordered a very big meal for
There's
a star.
No way. I just IHOP. Started the intro okay. of the podcast.
Okay, basically I ordered too much. I got too much more than I could handle. And yeah, then
tell
after
them what that, you ordered. Go ahead. Go
and
ahead.
Then after that, we're already here. I couldn't handle it.
She got a jumbo omelet. She got 3 short stack pancakes. And she got 2 buttermilk biscuits.
And then I have some of his food too.
And some of my food. Insanity.
Alright.
Welcome back to our podcast. Difficult-ish, a podcast about South Asian narratives. Hosted by myself, Mosh.
Mosh. And hosted by me, Mahua Khan.
And before we get any further, like the video.
Yeah.
If you're watching, subscribe to the channel. If you're watching the video. Rate and review the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Oh, wow. And
spit it out.
We love you.
We love you. If you guys
That's
didn't,
the end of the podcast.
If you guys no. didn't watch the last episode or listen to the last episode, you would know that
We're fasting.
You wouldn't know. Sorry that we were fasting. And yeah. Also, I mean, now you know from the beginning of the episode. But also, Mashun was not burping. He was hiccuping for 30 minutes straight in the last episode. So hopefully today we have no mishaps.
Maybe.
You were like throwing up, like not throwing up. You were like doing some sneezing. You had to leave the room to go sneeze.
Listen, it's human. It happens.
But anyway, yeah.
But yeah, we're tired. You know, last episode we had no energy. This episode
we had no
obviously. This episode we have no energy, but we're hiding the fact that we have no energy.
We're doing pretty good.
And trying to, you know, put on
a
facade.
Brave face.
A what?
A brave face.
Okay. Facade is a better
word.
We're
doing pretty good. Yeah, last episode was very low energy, but today we're
gonna sorry.
Bring it up a little bit, you know.
But now we're a little bit less low energy. Anyways, what are we talking about today?
So Mashun had this great idea to do a little story time on some of our travel experience, right? Like Mashun and I have traveled quite a bit, right? We've had some good experiences as one would hope to have during travel, but we've also had some very bad experiences, right? Things that maybe we've never mentioned on the pod before or mentioned or even uttered a single word out in public before, right? Because they might have been so bad.
Yes.
Are you going to share that one story?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Listen, I'm going to share some stuff. Just know there's stuff that I'm not sharing.
There's stuff that is very traumatic for him even now. Yeah. He has to work through.
Anyways, what are you saying?
No, I was just saying that we're just sharing our good and bad.
Okay.
You want to go first?
Tell me, just before that, tell me your favorite, like, childhood travel story.
Childhood travel.
Like you know, you think about, like, places you traveled to, whether it was, like, Florida when you were, like, 6 or, like, you know, just the city, whatever. Like,
it was probably
tell me,
that.
Like, tell me, like, a good story from when you were, like, 4, like, real quick.
Well, it wasn't when I was 4. It was probably when I was, like, 7.
Okay. Same thing.
I remember. Not the same thing. All right. I remember when my uncle used to live in Florida, you know, good old Kissimmee.
Yeah, shout out
How
Kissimmee.
Do you pronounce it in, like, the real English terms?
Kissimmee. Yeah, brown people say Kissimmee.
Kissimmee! Yeah, so I used to go to Kissimmee all the time, right?
Yeah, shout out Kissimmee.
We probably went about, like, 2 or 3 times. Not all the time. We probably went about 2 or 3 times in our life, right? So there was this one trip when we went there. Obviously, we would do the good old Disney or the Universal, things like that. And I really liked my uncle's house because he had a little, like, lake slash pond in the backyard.
Yeah, you know how it is.
He had a little golf course in the front yard. Good old suburbia. It was so nice, right? And I remember specifically we went for the 4th of July once. And I just remember, like, feeling so, like, comfortable with my family at home. And, like, you know, as a little kid, you're just excited to see the fireworks.
That's what it is.
And I remember seeing a little baby frog on the floor outside. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just such a nice, like, family nostalgic feeling.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
You know, like, when we first met, I was so surprised at how much you loved Florida.
Yeah, I love
because
Florida.
Because I was in still the mindset of not liking Florida.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here, I'm like, man, I miss the
you
frogs.
Love Florida. I
miss the
I don't want to spoil anything, but I did read a little manuscript of book number 2 from Mashu Munir, and he has a lot of reminiscences of Florida.
We don't have to get into that. It's okay.
I just got into it for a second. Oh, spoiler alert.
We gotta get into that. No spoiler. Biggest spoiler alert.
What's your favorite childhood travel story?
This one time, this is the first thing that I thought of. This is not the best. It's just the first. I have to
be honest. Yeah, you're fine. You're good.
When I was like six, I went to Toronto.
So like yesterday.
And we were staying at one of my somebody. I don't know whose house. Somebody.
Yeah. And I didn't know you went that young.
Yeah, and every day, they had a park that was like a 10-minute walk from the house,
mm-hmm.
like a not a park, like a playground.
Right.
Like a playground. Right. You know, where they have like the.
No, I know what a playground is.
Right.
Thanks.
And it's just one street.
Right.
Like. Just one street, walk down, like, and it's in a neighborhood, so walk down this street for 10 minutes, you're at the playground. And I saw the playground the first day, and I made them take me for, like, 3 days straight to the playground. And then the last day, nobody was available to take me, so I snuck out, and I went to the...
You're six.
I'm six, and I went to the playground.
You're six in a foreign country.
I went to the playground myself, and I felt, you know, like a free bird.
So did they have, like, an Amber Alert out for you?
And, I mean...
How'd they find you?
Nah, I think they just knew I was there. Or I think, like, I was six.
So
I don't
nothing has changed. You do the same thing now.
I don't remember the story very clearly.
One day you'll just see.
But you know, I've always been a wild child. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm trying to get into. Right. You know, so that's why, like, I wanted to talk about, you know, this type of stuff for this episode. Because, like, right now, like, I'm not in my travel era.
Yeah.
That's like,
okay.
I'm not thinking about traveling right now. Just because I just don't feel like it. I want to go a little bit later in the year. But you know, I just want to like reminisce on like some like good times, bad times. Sad times, funny times, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
Feel me? So, like...
You want to get started?
Okay.
I know you got some good travel stories.
So, one time, like, 2 years ago, I flew up to New York to hang out with her.
Oh. I didn't know I was the first story.
And, it's not about you.
Okay.
But I was running late for my flight. And
that story.
I was in TSA... You know, general line. And, you know, everybody was in a rush because I think everybody was trying to make this flight.
You're coming from Florida, right?
Come from Florida to New York.
The TSA
like
line.
6 a.m., right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm in TSA line. The gate closes at like 5:45. It's like 5:40 right now. And whatever, I put my luggage through the machine. I go on the other side. My luggage is gone. What happened?
Can you imagine in that like what 10 happened? Seconds?
Think about it. You put your luggage on the machine that, you know, they push it in. They make you like stand there until like it's like,
yeah.
Excuse me, sir. So then they push it in and then you go to the other side and then your luggage is gone. So now I'm just like, and I'm like standing there for like a minute. I'm like, hello, like what's going, like where is, hello. I'm waiting for it to come out. It's not coming out.
Right.
I found out that somebody else took it. And...
In that moment, did you think someone stole it purposely or that someone just by mistake?
I knew someone didn't steal it.
Okay.
I knew that someone took it by mistake.
Okay.
Because like nobody steals luggage at that point.
Yeah.
Maybe they do. If you got luggage stolen there, whatever.
Yeah, that's yeah.
But I was like, there's someone it's had to, because I had a very general black carry on, very regular, nothing fancy about it. And when I was waiting in the TSA line, I heard this couple in front of me talking about New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I hypothesized.
Put two and two together.
That they were on my flight.
Right.
I knew that they also had a black bag. And they took my bag by accident. Right. So when it happens, I go to like the police officer. And I'm like, yo, my thing got stolen, blah, blah, blah. And I should have said that I think I know what happened. But I just didn't want to be.
But you also can't confirm at
like,
that moment.
I didn't want to be like that. Oh, like they took it, Bob. Like I didn't want to be that because I wasn't 100% sure. But I just like had a feeling, right? So whatever, like we like waste a bunch of time like trying to find it, whatever.
Did they have to look at cameras or anything?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then, after like whatever, we can't find it. At this point, it's like 6:15. My flight's gone. I know I'm gonna have to rebook it. I tell the police officer at this point, I'm like, yo, I think I know what happened. I've been thinking about it more. And so I tell him, I'm like, yo, I think they took it. And I think they're on the same flight as me. This is the gate. The flight's probably gone. But like, can we go there? And I'm surprised he said yes, because it was just like out the whim, like no backbone to it. And
yeah.
He just like we went. And then right, like. Yo, the craziest thing. So I finally get to the gate, and it's like 15 minutes after
when the gate
flight,
closes.
After the gate closer and whatever, and like the flight supposedly left. But I see the gate is still open. The gate is still open. There's like the last like four people entering. So I'm like, okay, they were probably notified that a bunch of people from TSA are on this flight. They probably held it open a little bit more. And then I don't even think I told you like the full extent of this. And so there's like four people left in line. And then the two people left, like in behind, they're the two people, the couple that I saw from the TSA line. And I see them and I go up to them and I'm like, yo, like, is there any chance? And I don't see my bag with them. But still, I went up to ask them. I was like, yo, is there any chance you took my bag? And they were like, yeah, we took it by accident. And I'm like, where's my bag? And they're like, we gave it back. And I'm like, what does that mean? And they're like, yeah, we don't know. We just kind of gave it to somebody.
So wait, did they take their own bag and your bag?
Yes.
How?
Because I think, so they had two carry-ons and then they had like a small thing like on top of the, I don't remember clearly, but I know that they had like three bags.
But how silly do you have to be to take that's an what extra I'm saying bag?
So at this moment the gate is about to close,
right?
And they sent my bag back,
all the way back,
and I'm looking at them and like at that moment I could have either like went belligerent on them and right. been like, why are you stupid,
like it's 6 a.m. in the morning,
that dumb,
right?
But they just, like, turn around, and then they, like, enter the plane, and then the gate closes. And I'm, like...
In, like, all slow motion.
And, like, and so, yeah, and then I have to, like, go find my bag and book another flight, and it was, like,
no, basically, I remember when he told me this. This was 2 years ago. I remember because we talked about it for an extensive period of time. I was so pissed crazy. Off for him. I remember they tried booking you another flight, but you were on standby.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah,
the,
yeah.
There was, like, nine people on standby, and you happened to be number nine.
Yeah.
And they called damn, I forgot eight that. People, yeah, and you were the last person to not get on the next flight.
Yeah.
So then they had to, what, book you another flight?
Yeah. I was at there for, like, 6-7 hours. So
yeah, yeah. And this was all before, like, 7 a.m. Yeah,
catch flight, not feel.
Everyone was waking up so comfortably. Ah, yeah, this could be such a good day. You're having the worst day of your life. Yeah, and that couple was all the way back in New York already. Like, they were done. what a good day.
Yeah, you know, so, like, moral of the story, put a ribbon around your bags.
Yeah, our immigrant parents had
something like that. They knew from back then, you know, there's a lot of skimpy people out here. You know? There's a lot of people out here with bad intentions.
Yeah.
Or are just dumb. And just take the wrong bag, whatever it is. So shout out to them.
You know how coquette is like a big aesthetic right now? Like coquette?
I've never heard that word.
Coquette, like ballet
I
aesthetic.
Thought you meant like croquette, like the sport.
No. Okay. Coquette is like a ribbon, like ballet
type aesthetic. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Our immigrant parents really invented that with luggages because they put a ribbon on everything.
Yeah.
And I actually, when I went to the airport the other day after Bangladesh, I saw this luggage that was coming, you know, in the turnstile. And it was like a black family, like an immigrant family, and it was fully saran wrapped.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is so smart.
You didn't see that? You didn't see that in Bangladesh?
Not as much.
Bro, in the Bangladesh airport, they have the guy at the kiosk who like sells that service.
I didn't know that was a thing.
He'll wrap your bags. Yeah.
Wow.
He has a little machine. It goes in like a circle.
Wow.
And it's cheap. It's like 50 dhaka or something. I was going to do it. I don't know why.
That's actually smart.
Yeah.
Because it's like then you know that
then
no one's
there's
gonna
no
go
possibility.
Through it. Yeah. It's
you know,
smart.
You are safe.
It's smart. But
absolutely.
Then you can't. You also can't open it up yourself.
No,
if you need
not
something.
At all. But why would you need to? Because it's like.
It's like pillows
on the
in
plane.
There. It's like, yeah, true,
you
true.
Don't have access
true,
to it.
True. All right. So
okay, yeah, you got some.
Since we were talking about stories of going, like the plane story going to another place, I also have a journey story.
Okay, yeah, hit me.
So as you guys know, I solo traveled to Paris, right? I went to Paris for 3 weeks.
Oui.
That was my first ever solo international trip ever. And for such a long period of time. I was going there and I was very nervous, right? And I was nervous, but I was also very excited because that was the first time that I was like pushing myself out of my comfort zone that hard. It was a little graduation gift to myself. I was excited, but also very scared. And when you are like nervous and scared, you kind of put yourself in like a negative, you know, mindset.
Yeah, I've been there.
Where it seems like everything is going wrong because you're already in like a negative outlook, you know? But if you have like the lucky girl syndrome, which is like, oh my God, I'm the luckiest girl alive. I'm thinking abundantly, yeah, like everything. Yeah, everything good is going to happen to me. Then you will focus on the good more, right? Mm. But since on the trip there, I was already in like a bad type of mindset, even though I was excited, bad things were happening to me, right?
Wow.
So I had this trip to Paris from New York. It was at like 10 p.m., whatever. I was on the plane. My feet were already very stinky because I was wearing Doc Martens. It was a long flight. Yeah. And I was carrying a carry-on for this long flight and a duffel bag, right? This duffel bag is my old Karate Days duffel bag from, like, what, 2007 or something? Okay. I don't know why I took that, but I did. And that was my fault. So anyway, before I even got out of JFK in New York, there was a hole in the duffel bag on the left corner. So it, because it was so heavy, so I was dragging it because it was so heavy, but there was also a hole, but I couldn't do anything about it, right? So whatever, I get on this flight, and then this jockey guy comes into the plane, sits right next to me, right? And whatever, he didn't talk for a little bit, and then he started talking, and he wasn't like a bad guy, like he was nice. I think he was from like not the Netherlands, but somewhere in Europe, so he didn't seem like he had like bad intentions. Honestly, it seemed like he just wanted someone to talk to. But I was not in the mood to talk. You know, it's 10 p.m. plus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Paris for the first time. Like, stop talking to me. So he's telling me his whole life story. And also, you know, when you're like a girl and sometimes you're uncomfortable. Well, you wouldn't know, actually. But the listeners that are listening, sometimes when you're uncomfortable and you're a female, you kind of talk more because you don't know how to, like, stop the conversation. You know, it's kind of like a fear thing that you do to protect yourself. So I was like talking more, contributing to the conversation, making him feel like I was actually interested when I was not. Whatever, he's telling me that he goes to the gym and he's like going to back to his home country, whatever. And then the flight, he's in the middle seat, I'm in the window seat. And then he goes, oh, can I like lean my head on your shoulder? And
what,
I'm like,
what does he mean by that?
Yeah, sure. He wasn't like fully like that, but he was like more on my side than, you know, because he's like a bigger guy. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Because also, what do, like, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know how to say no, which is, like, such a bad thing. But, you know, in that moment, I didn't know what to do. Anyway, whatever, we land. And then we get out of the gate in Germany. We had a layover there. And, again, I have such heavy stuff with me. And I go upstairs with the guy. He's still with me because we have to go through border control. And then I realized my phone is not in my hand. I was like, where did I leave my phone? This never happens to me. I'm a very prepared and organized person. And then I realized that I left my phone downstairs right outside of the gate. And I'm like, oh my God, do I either trust this person that I don't know with my bags and run down and get it? Because there was no way I would be able to like carry back everything downstairs. Or do I, you know, take everything downstairs and hope that it's there? So I trusted this guy, went back downstairs for my phone. Thankfully, it was there. And then I ran back upstairs and I was sweating. And he thankfully had my bags. He, like, didn't run away with it, obviously. And then he was like, oh, can I take a picture with you? And I'm like, okay, sure. In my head, it felt like this was the first time ever he saw a brown person, right? Because I'm like, I'm not a zoo animal. Like, the way, he, you know, I don't know if it was like, oh, like, I had such a nice time with you. Let me take a picture for a memory.
Okay.
Or whatever. And then I take a picture. It looks so freaking ugly in it. And then he asked for my Instagram. I gave it to him, and then I removed him and unfollowed him later on, whatever. Nice. And then thankfully, at that time, we separated because he was able to go through the European border control. I had to go through American. And then I'm in Germany. You know the story. I'm in Germany, and I'm going through border control. They're so mean to me. I mean, they're mean to everyone, basically, but more to me because I'm a female solo traveler. And then I go through TSA again, and they randomly security check me.
Okay.
Because they pull out my straightener and it like beeped, or my curler or something.
Yeah, had to be done.
And then they take off my shoes and everything to try to find like the metal thing that went off or whatever. And I'm like, okay, stinky shoes, you deserve that, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they pull out my curler, thinking, I don't know what they thought it was. And then I'm like, put it back in because now you look stupid.
Yeah.
Please. Also, my security alarm on my keys went off because I was kicking the duffel bag. The keys were in my duffel bag. So whatever, all these things were happening. My flight to Paris was in like 2 seconds, right? They wouldn't close my luggage for me. And like, think about it. I'm fitting, because after that, I went to London, right, for a week. So I was out of the country for a month. Think about it. I had a month's worth of stuff in my carry-on, and my carry-on from 2004, probably.
Right.
And my karate duffel bag. So I'm like sitting on top of my luggage, trying to close it, trying to run to my flight. the gates are closed, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
bye.
There's no point. Like, gone. I'm dragging this duffel bag. I get on the little conveyor belt that makes it go quicker. Did it really make me go any quicker? I run there. The flights are all closed. Yeah. It seems deserted. It seems like no one was even there. And I'm like, hello, I'm here. Mm. And they're like, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
Go
yeah.
book another yeah, flight. So then I had to go back to the line with my friggin' bags and book this. Another flight. And then we get to Paris finally. Whole other stuff happens, but basically I couldn't get into my Airbnb for like 40 minutes. At this point, I haven't slept in like 24 hours, right? I was so upset, and then I finally got into my Airbnb after so long, and then I slept until the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first experience in Paris. But honestly, after that, I had to get that out of my system. I had a really good like trip.
Did you?
Yeah.
Moral of the story?
Moral of the story is don't let your journey and like the first part of your trip define your whole trip. Like think brightly. Think brightly, you know?
Brightly?
Yeah.
Abundantly.
Think abundantly.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story.
Because I could have let that just ruin my whole trip.
Facts.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
This whole journey was so bad. I know this whole trip's gonna be bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's a great story.
It was a good
I can't top that. Just kidding. All right, I got two stories. I got one about New York and one about my first solo trip to New York and one about my first solo trip to Colombia. Which one do you want to hear?
Colombia, since we just heard about New York.
You know both. Okay. So, as you guys know, I'm from Orlando, Florida. And my part of Orlando, I had a large Latin community.
Yeah.
A lot of Latin people.
Yeah.
So I grew up with a lot of Latin people.
That's true.
And I grew up loving Latin culture and South American culture. I grew up with a lot of Puerto Ricans, a lot of Dominicans, a lot of Colombians.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I always wanted to go to South American countries.
Yeah.
Because I always heard them talking about, you know, their motherlands and how much they love it. And so I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico for my first solo trip when I was 18. And my second solo trip to a Latin American country, I went to Colombia. It was in the last semester of, or second to last semester of my time at UCF, and it was like a random weekend. It was like a 3-day weekend, and I went for like 4 days or something. It was super spontaneous. The ticket was super cheap, which is why I went. A lot of y'all talk down on Spirit, but Spirit is the only airlines that has direct flights from Orlando to Medellin, Colombia.
Oh, interesting.
Only airline. So I'm a Spirit spokesperson.
You're the only one that talks out of Spirit.
Yeah. So I go really spontaneous. I don't look up anything. I don't practice any Spanish. I don't know anything. The only thing that I look up,
which I wouldn't recommend, by the way.
Please don't. For the love of God, don't do that. It worked out for me, but it shouldn't have. The only thing that I looked up, and I looked it up when...
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Right before I got on the plane,
and you are different because you're so spontaneous and unprepared, whereas I have everything figured out.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Okay.
The only thing that I planned that I booked was my airport transfer, like from the airport to my Airbnb.
I would hope.
Because I don't, and I also looked up if Uber works there.
Yeah.
The only thing that I booked was a car that gets me to my Airbnb, right? Mm. So I know nothing. So boom, I land, I get to my Airbnb. It's like 5 p.m. On a Thursday night, and I check in, and it's a beautiful Airbnb. Good God, I think about the Airbnb all the time. And now I'm just like, okay, now what? Like, what do I do? And it starts like raining outside, and the sun is like starting to come down, and I'm like, damn, like, do I? And I'm tired, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know Spanish. I don't even know if Uber works. Like, I haven't tried to do it yet. And I'm like, wow, do I stay in tonight? Or do I go out?
Mm.
You know, do I live that wild life and, mm-hmm. you know, like, go out and, like, just, like, story, see what right? happens? This is a good story.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good story.
I remember, yeah,
this
yeah.
This is a good story. And I go out. What did you think I was saying?
No. I was just clarifying.
Oh, yeah. Good story. Sorry to burst you guys' bubble. And so I start looking up things to do, and I see that there's this event called a language exchange that's going on. It's an event hosted at a rooftop at a hostel where travelers meet and they exchange their languages. So, like, people that are speaking English, we can talk to somebody speaking that knows Norwegian, or I don't know if that's a language. Is Norwegian? I don't know. And you can, you know, teach each other your guys' languages. And I was like, wow, I got two languages that I could teach somebody. I could teach English, Bangla, whatever.
Wow.
And I see that the place is like 15 minutes nearby. And I looked on their Facebook and they had, you know, pictures where like the turnout's like cool. Like, it's like 30 people. It's like, it's a little cute vibe.
Yeah.
Right? Calm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm outside tonight.
Right. YOLO.
I'm going outside. We'll see what happens. If I go and there's nobody there, at least I tried. Right.
Yeah.
So I find out how to use Uber. I take Uber. I go to this place. It's in like not the middle of nowhere, but there's like nothing really nearby.
Is it called Uber there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you know how it's Uber. Other apps.
Yeah. Exist. They got Rappi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, that's different.
Uber Eats, right?
That's Uber Eats. Yeah, Rappi. Rappi. I can't roll my R's.
Okay. Rappi.
And it's like this building, like he just drops me off there, and I'm like asking people around,
sus,
like,
right?
Do they know? It looks pretty sus, and I'm like asking people around, like, where is it, blah blah, and I'm just like asking for the hostel, and like nobody just knows. So then
it's
like,
at a hostel.
Like, it's at a hostel, and I wander into like, but it's not like a nice hostel. It's like a budget hostel, like,
yeah,
you know, like those types of hostels.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, I eventually find it, and I, like, walk up the stairs, and I ask, like, oh, is this the place? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, oh, like, you have to just, like, on the roof. And, like, the stairways to the roof were, like, crazy. It was, like, the most, like, inadequate, like, abnormal staircase I've ever seen. Like, you have to take. Anyways, I end up to the roof, and it starts at 7:30, and I get there at 7:30, and I'm, like, the first person there. And I'm, like,
you're just talking to yourself.
At that point, I was, like, ready to go. I was, like, I'm wasting my time here. So I'm waiting. I'm like, so I tell myself, like, okay, let me just wait like 5 minutes, see what happens. So I wait like a couple minutes, and like the fourth guy that comes in is like this nerdy Indian guy, like big glasses, like comb over haircut. He comes in and he like sits down next to me and he like starts talking to me, and I start talking to him because I'm like, okay, it's the first person to start talking to me, and he's like so annoying. He's like so annoying. Like, he's from London. He has like a really thick English accent, and like we talked for an hour just about like life in London, and like we started talking about like violence in London, and he just kept and I was like oh, like is it like scary out there? Like I listen to a lot of UK drill music and I hear from these musicians that, you know, it's tough out there. And he's like, nah, all that's fake, none of that. So whatever, I wasn't having a good time with him, but he kept me there for like an hour. I'll speed up the story from now on. So then more people are coming. This group of like four guys comes in, and they sit down with us. We all start talking. And one of the guys in that group, his name is Victor, who soon becomes one of my best, like my best friend from Colombia, and one of like my favorite people in the whole world today. I started talking to him. And like, you know those people in life that you just like kick it off with?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often, but like you know, like when it happens. Like, have you had this happen like recently? Where you just like meet someone, you just like kind of kick it off. It's okay.
Not recently.
No.
But I've had it.
Whenever it happens, man, like my heart just like, you know,
it's like feel like finding your soul friend.
Yeah,
you know,
because you know, like it's nice to, you know, have a friendship that you grow over time and
yeah,
like stuff where like you don't start off the closest. Like that's lovely too, but like it's really cool,
it's like,
when like you
like
kick it off with someone,
understood right away, like
yeah,
connected right away.
Yeah, and I just kick it off with this guy. This is probably like one of like five people I've ever kicked it off with, and he introduced me to all of his friends, and after that we go out and he takes me to like a bunch of different places, and we were out till like 5 a.m the first night. And then the second day he took me out to Comuna 13, which is like one of like the more like touristy neighborhoods, and like shows me all around. He takes me to his aunt's house, and like we make like empanadas in like her back porch. And like the next day he takes me all, and he just like kept me company like the whole trip. And like we were talking like the end of the first night, and I was just like so thankful for him. I was like, yo, like why are you doing this? Like, and it wasn't like he wasn't paying for me or anything. Like I wouldn't ask for any of that. But he was just like, he was going out of his way to just like show me Medellin and like to show me a good time.
It's nice to have a local's perspective too.
Yeah, and he was like, I was like, yo, why are you doing this? And he was like, yo, like this is how we he said something, he said a lot more nice than how I'm gonna say it. But he was just like, this is how we like regrow the name of Columbia. It's like, when people come, it's my job to show you a good time here. Mm-hmm. So then you go back home and you tell people about how good of a time you had. And then you get on your podcast and you say how good of a time you had. And then those people will come. And then it goes on and on. And he said it much nicer. But that just always like stuck with me.
How did you know to trust him? Was it just like a gut feeling?
You know, like I'm naturally a very, like, you know this, I'm a very I'm very spontaneous and I love to do whatever things, but I have like really, really big like trust issues.
Yeah.
And
anxiety with travel.
I'm quite a paranoid person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust people that easily. But something about him, man, like, I can't describe it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you just meet those people that are just like, either like you're playing like the world's most devious game, like being like this with me, or you're just like a good soul. Mm-hmm. And like, I think 99.99% of the time, you can, when like that person approaches you, like, you can tell that it's like a genuine person, you mm-hmm. know. And I like don't blame anybody for like being like, if I was more cautious in that, like, thank God I wasn't, but like, if I was more cautious in that situation, like, I don't think he would have gotten upset. Like, he would have understood, because like, especially like in Colombia and like a lot of like South American countries or like South Asian like wherever, like everywhere in the world, there's gonna be people that are gonna try to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
But you know, like, when like sometimes like you could just like feel like that energy of like somebody that's just like, and it, I think it just comes like to like the smile, like somebody like this. Mm-hmm. Like, I met this Indian guy in Orlando at like this lounge with my friend Soham a couple months ago, and he was playing pool. We started playing pool with him. We started talking to him. I think I told you about him. And I was getting a really good vibe from him, but my friend Soham wasn't. My friend, like, I kept looking at him, and someone's usually like really talkative, but in this situation, he wasn't being that talkative. And at one point, I pulled him aside. I was like, "Yo, like, do you not like him? Like, I feel like he's great. Like, I feel like this guy's really cool." And Soham's like, "Nah, man, like, something's off." And then like, turns out, my friend was very, very right, and this guy had like a very bad background, and I didn't catch it, and Soham did. And I think ever since that, I got like reminded of like, you know, like, what are like red flags to like look out for. But I think a lot of time it just comes down to like the smile the person has, you know, like, so you can tell like when like a smile is like a,
but some people can disguise their smile really
yeah
well.
But I know,
okay, but, but you know that, man, experience that you had, yeah, like that impromptu spontaneous feeling of making friends out of nowhere is what inspired me to like stay at a hostel when mm-hmm. I solo traveled in Amsterdam and try to make those friends. Because usually when I solo travel, my intention is not to make friends or connections. It's just to, like, experience the place and culture alone. But that really inspired me. Do you remember when you were in Colombia and you had to take a really big pill? Like, a big red pill?
Yo,
can
I got...
Can you, like, brush over that story real quick?
Damn, I forgot about... I should have told the...
It's fine. Just
the hiking story.
Just brush over it real quick.
So my second time to Colombia, after I graduated, I went for like 6 weeks just because I wanted to catch a vibe over there.
6 weeks is crazy.
And I went, and then like my first weekend there, me, Victor, and three other people went on a hike. And I didn't realize that this hike was a hike and it was a very dangerous hike. I had to leave to realize like what I just did.
If I was there, I would have pulled him by the ear.
I was, God, and the whole time we were getting rained on too. So
like
imagine a crazy ass hike, steep, whatever hike. Got rained on the whole time. I was sick. I was the most sick that I've ever been, like for the next like 4 days. And I told my friend Natalia, and she's like, all right, I'm gonna send you some. And she sent me this box. Imagine like a box like the size of like my phone, and like this box only had one pill. Like, this pill, it was like,
how big was the pill,
bro? It was like it was a golf ball, bro.
No, actually,
like imagine an ovular golf ball.
Actually,
wallah,
there's,
I swear,
no way you swallowed.
Imagine maybe a little bit smaller than a golf ball in an oval shape.
Is it like the size of like a date, like a kid's?
Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe a
Why'd
bit bigger.
Why'd you say
maybe
golf ball?
Maybe a bit bigger.
It's completely
a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger. A little bit bigger than a date. She was like, yo, take this. You'll feel great. And I took it and I went to sleep. And literally, yeah, like, I woke up and I was cured.
What was in the pill?
I don't know. I asked her. She's like, it's Columbia medicine.
Okay. I'm like, okay. That's like us taking Arnica when we were, you never had that?
No. Nah.
Bangli families. We had this, like, sugary, like, pill.
Okay.
We just take and that when we had pain.
It just did the job.
I guess. But me and my brother would just have it for fun. Because it tasted so good.
And you're just forever
We just sneak it.
Just never sick
again. My mom's jar.
I feel you.
But anyway.
Yeah, that was me with, like, chips. Like, I used to like.
You could have kept that one to yourself.
I would have started.
It's still you. But anyway.
All right, go.
I mean, now that you said the story about going to Colombia and making a friend, I might as well talk about Amsterdam and staying at the hostel.
Yeah, why not?
So I went to Amsterdam for 5 or 6 days. And the last 2 days of the trip, I stayed at a hostel. The first 3 days, I stayed at a hotel. So it was a nice, like, you know, half-half. But when I stayed at the hostel, I was really excited because it was my first time, like, staying in, like, a more communal place. Even though I had my own private room, I was still able to have, like, opportunities to make friends because they had, like, events and things like that to, like, you know, promote community and, like, friendship.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I was very scared because I felt like everyone had their own friends already. People were talking already. And, you know, what am I to, like, intrude?
Who are
you? Because it's, like, a very big thing to, like, get out of your comfort zone, you know? So in the beginning, I kind of just, like, scoped it out. I felt very, like, lonely and depressed because, like, you know, I felt like everyone else had friends. So I was just eating my burger and fries by myself and, like, whatever. And then the next day, and then also when I went back to my room, it was like 11 p.m. or something. I heard all this, like, noise and stuff coming from downstairs. And I look out the window and there's, like, a whole, like, middle terrace section that I didn't even see. And people were, like, playing, like Connect Four on this big place. They were playing all these different games. And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know about this. And they all have friends. But I feel like if I'd gone there and, like, made the choice to actually try, I would have just blended in, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to sleep after that. And the next day, I made this decision that I would actively try. Okay? That's the thing. You have to be more open-minded. And I'm like,
gotcha.
I'm going to actually put myself out there today and try to engage in conversation if someone talks to me. Even if they don't talk to me, I'll try, you know? And luckily enough, for an artist like me, they had a paint night.
Wow,
right?
That's all it took.
They had a paint night that night, so I knew that I would put myself there, even if it was empty, even if there were people there.
Yeah, catch
and I went there early on, got all my materials sorted from the team, and then I started painting. And this girl named Emily sat next to me, right?
Emily.
And, you know, we were just, like, painting next to each other. We weren't really talking. There was, like, a whole bunch of people at the table, whatever. We were just, like, asking each other for paint, you know, how basic conversations start. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, can you pass over that?
Pass over the
that paintbrush?
Piece.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to make some burgundy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And then, you know, I'm, like, complimenting Emily's, like, drawing. Oh, my God, like, so nice.
Yeah.
She's complimenting mine. Like, oh, my God,
so
you're an
nice.
Artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're just, like, talking slowly like that. And then she saw my vlog camera and she was like, like, she a vlogger? She a YouTuber?
Blogger. Yes, she
so
is.
So that's how, like simple conversation started. And whatever, right? And then it turns out that we were talking more and more. And then we started talking after the paint session was over and we just, like, sat there. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to this place right next to the hostel after. It's kind of like the Empire State for their terms, even though it was not that high up at all. And it was like a swing that goes over the building, right? So it's like you're basically swinging over the whole city. But it was in, like, skyscrapers, like New York. But it was so scary, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going there after. Like, if you want to come through, you can. And she was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll come.
Yeah.
And then we went to that place after. And, oh, also before we went there, we met this other girl that seemed pretty cool. She was also, like, a traveler, solo traveler. So Emily was a solo traveler. She's from London. Another solo traveler came. Her name was Libby. She came from Iowa or something, Idaho or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Des Moines.
Yeah. And then so just potatoes. The two of us went to that thing after because Libby had something else to do. We had so much fun there. She wasn't supposed to get a ride because I booked my ticket ahead of time. And so there was no tickets for that time slot for Emily. But the person just let us both on.
Yes.
So she had a free, like, trip from that.
Out.
So we were both on this swing together. And it was just so much fun. And then we came back. We met up with Libby. And then we were just, like, in that little middle terrace section. All three of us just chatting away, laughing.
Yeah.
That's and I felt like I actually made like friends on that trip, you know? Like now when I think of Amsterdam, obviously I have my beautiful like solo travel fun moments that I had by myself. But then I also had these fun like people to associate it with.
Yeah.
You know?
Moral of the story?
Moral of the story is like put yourself out there and like, yeah, have your alone time and do what you want to do, but also try to like have people that you can associate a good trip with.
Do you have any like real like tangible tips for like, you know, in that situation, like what you did that like heightened your chances of like making friends?
Yeah. Maybe like not have my headphones in like during the paint night, you know, like seem more approachable.
Yeah.
Maybe try to initiate conversation sometimes, whether it doesn't have to be, oh, hi, hello, my name is. It can just be like something that they're working on and complimenting it, or like something that you notice that they're doing, you know, just so you seem more approachable.
Yeah.
But yeah, just make that effort. Make more eye contact.
Shout out to hostels. I think hostels are great.
Underrated.
I think a tip that I have, you know, when if you're traveling, you're staying at a hostel or something, if you're at an event and you want to socialize.
No, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you.
When you're at an event and you want to socialize, you either target the you target the person that's alone.
Yeah.
Or even better, you target a group of two people that like you look at them and you see that they're like
they need
not
like a third.
They're not having that much conversation. That's always the easiest, because if there's two people, they always want a third, unless like on a date or like whatever. I don't know why they'd be on a date. I don't know, but like a majority, like tell me not, like if you and your friend are hanging out and like it's like your friend that you just you've known for whatever and like you just don't care, like why would you not want like a third cool person to like join, you know? So it's like I started thinking about like socializing like that, and like when I went back to Colombia like this past time, I would go to like an event on the rooftop and like I would always see like two guys that I could tell just met each other as well.
Yeah.
And I'll go to them, it'd be like really easy, and a lot of time like you could just tell them straight up, you'd be like, yo, like I'm here dolo, can I hang out with y'all?
9 out of 10 success rate, huh?
I mean, they'll never say no. Like it's literally 10 out of 10. If they don't feel like it, you'll get that feeling throughout the conversation, but like nobody will say no to that.
Yeah,
you know, and it's easier than just like going up, because like a lot of us feel really awkward like coming up, be like, oh hi, what's your name, like starting off like that. So you just start be like, yo, I'm here alone, like catch a vibe with
like put that on the table first, like, oh hey, I'm here alone, like is it okay if I join you guys?
Yeah.
And instead of like,
of course.
Yeah
So
good tip.
Once I stayed at a hostel in Bogota
and I hated it.
Yeah.
Why?
I hated it because I woke up one morning at like,
how many people were in this hostel?
It was a 4-bed. So when I came in at night and I saw that two of the beds were taken.
Right.
So I saw that, okay, there's two people here. So then when I woke up at 7:30, I went to like the bathroom and I saw that there was nobody there. And that like the three beds were clean.
Mm.
So I think like everybody checked out and I was like there alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the bathroom and go back to bed, right? And I like 10 minutes later, I hear on the door. Just like banging on the door.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, odd. Like, you need a key card to get in.
Right.
Bang on the door. Not saying anything, just banging. And stops. Banging. Bang on the door. And then it goes, instead of banging, like, this person grabs the door handle.
It starts jingling.
Starts shaking the door handle, whatever. So this whole time, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, it's someone that, like, just is stupid and doesn't know that this isn't their room.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because if this was your room, you would... If you forgot your key card, you would be saying something, oh, I forgot my key card, or you had your key card, whatever.
Right.
So literally for the next 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, just nonstop, like
that was me in Paris.
Moving the door.
Trying to get into my Airbnb. Like this.
And at this point, I call the front desk and I'm like, yo, there's somebody just like, at this point, I'm like, are they trying to break in? Like, is someone trying to rob me?
Still, it's crazy.
Like now I'm like trying to like put like my pants on and like getting ready for like to fight,
cause,
like,
attack.
Yo, what's happening, bro? And I call the front desk and they're like, oh, they'll come check. And then like they come check and then it's like just a girl that just forgot her card. And I'm like, why do you not say anything?
You're just trying
like,
to get it.
Why are you wiggling the door handle 20 minutes and like thinking that's gonna come on.
Just go back down until you forgot.
Anyways, other than that, you know,
was it clean?
Hostel, yeah, it's clean. It's a vibe. Bogota is a very mean city. It's beautiful, but everything, everybody I talked to was very mean. I don't like mean people because I'm a nice person. You know, are I'm you? A very like, you know, like I'm not looking.
Maybe for they like saw you try to like attempt Spanish and they didn't like it.
My Spanish isn't that bad though. You know, like.
But you know, you could tell apart from like hola, local versus like.
¿Cómo te llamas?
You can tell apart okay, from local
me
versus.
Me gusta empanadas.
You just went up to every single person. Me gusta empanadas. Empanadas.
Me gusta arepas. Okay. Um,
oh wow.
I remember this one time I was at another hostel event in Medellin, and it was me and Victor and somebody else. We just started talking to like random people, and like Victor started talking to like these two brown girls and like this one brown guy, and like I joined them and like we're talking, and then like I was like, oh, like I forgot. I was like, oh, like are you guys South Asian? They're like nah, we're Trini. I was like, that's South Asian, and they're like, no, like nobody's ever said that we're South Asian before. I'm like, yo, like Trinis are South Asian.
Well, there's it's divisive.
Well, I growing up my whole life, I always looked at as Trini. Yeah, some and people consider people South Asian. Bro, like some, bro, like Trinis can be more South Asian than Indians, bro, because like Trinis and Guyanese people are like actually cultured, like yeah. are actually just like invested in like we're just talking. I was just talking to him. I was like, yo, you got the. I was like, yo, you got the South Asian, bro. Like, you guys are like part of like. I would never say that you guys are not involved with us. Like,
yeah,
you know, because I feel like growing up, that's all like Trini and Guyanese people here is like they're not a part of the community. They're like just in like this like Caribbean bubble that's like it's just like them two and mm-hmm. like they're like not involved in like anything yeah. else.
So you validated their experience.
Yeah, I told them. I was like, yo, like you are us. You are here.
Beautiful.
For me?
Yeah. Bing. So as you guys know on our Instagram, if you guys don't follow us now, you can if you'd like to. We're about to hit 10K. Amazing. It's damn, at Difficult Dish. So we posted a story as we always do before new episodes where we post what the episode is going to be about. You guys can put in your input, send in your responses, and we sometimes mention them in our episodes. So this time around, we asked you guys, what are some good or bad travel experiences that you've had? Tell us some stories. So we're going to share a few.
All right. I almost got arrested.
Wow.
Talking politics in a museum in Beijing, China. So a lot of these countries like don't play around when it comes to their political.
That scares me because it's like if you get arrested or if you're hospitalized or if you lose your passport in another country, that like freaks me out because it's like you can get stuck there.
Man, that just reminded me of something that I don't want to talk about.
What?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
But that's my biggest fear.
Which part?
Like losing your phone, your passport, or like while you're like in Barbados.
Just yeah.
trying to catch a vibe. Then
yeah. But I feel like China is more scary.
Yeah.
China is scary. I actually had a friend from Bangladesh that told me he lost his passport in China and they didn't let him leave for like 2 weeks or something.
Damn.
And then the only way he was able to leave was because his father was like a part of the military and like they had connections or something.
Damn.
It's scary.
That's crazy. At the beginning of our Miami trip, my friend's card got quote unquote stolen. In reality, he was broke. Yo.
I literally just watched a TikTok of this girl's full on story time where she went on vacation to like Cancun or like Mexico or something with her girls. And this one girl came broke. She came with only $135 for the whole trip.
That's different.
And she was just talking about how this girl just refused to pay anyone.
That's different.
And I was like, that's wild. That's different. Don't go on a trip if you're broke.
Get your money up, not your funny up. Don't be going on no trips. Don't be don't be lollygagging in Ocean Drive. Ah,
not Ocean Drive.
Nah, you need to get those hours in.
All right. So as you guys know, we end off our episodes with 10-second advices. At least we try to. Sometimes we go a little bit overboard. Do you have any 10-second piece of advice? My 10-second piece of advice is stand up for yourself. Even if you feel like it's too much of a hassle and other people will talk shit about you for doing it.
Wow.
Why are you up there?
You know what they say?
Can you come back down?
That's pretty good advice.
Yeah. I wish some people would follow it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good advice. My advice is, you know, I know we talked smack about IHOP in the beginning, but they got this happy hour, weekday happy hour.
No one talks smack.
Monday through Friday, 3 to 9 p.m. $6
yeah, 3 to 9
dishes.
Is a big...
That's a very, very happy hour.
Yeah, that's a big...
That's a joyful
happy hours.
Hour. That's a joyful hour.
Yeah.
That's a ecstatic hour. Yeah, check that out.
What did you get?
Good advice. Huh?
What did you get?
I got a burger and fries, and I got... It doesn't end there. I also got chicken tenders. It doesn't end there. I also got them in Nashville hot sauce. It doesn't end there. I also had her biscuits. It doesn't end there. I also had some of my god sister's omelet.
And pancakes.
And it doesn't end. And pancakes. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to our episode.
Thank you so much.
Of our podcast. Please like the video. And have a great rest of Ramadan and a great rest of 2024. And it's just a good life out here.
It's
you
gonna,
know,
so, get up, up, so, up, up, up.
Feel me? So practice gratitude, abundance, and you know, is difficult dish for L.
All right, we love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.